streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
This episode is brought to you by UiPath. Human achievement can be slow. 200,000 years to go from the wheel to your jalopy? Really? But today, 90% of the Fortune 500 are accelerating human achievement simply. When AI is everywhere, every process can be automated and accelerated. 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 UiPath, the AI everywhere foundation of innovation.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Denzel Mims with another monster score of 70 yards.
Quick pass to Crowder trying to get him out of space. Slaps a tackle, and there he goes. It's a foot race, and Crowder is in there! A 69-yard touchdown.
Darnold escapes, trying to buy himself some time. Fires end zone. It's caught. Incredible play by Darnold.
Hill hit immediately.
He got the handoff.
You know and it's
the Q-inator.
Oh, my gosh!
Listen, thank you.
From the TOJ Digital Studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. It's time to talk about all the latest buzz surrounding the New York Jets. A lot of juicy stuff happening. So for that, of course, we bring in our friend Nick Spano, co-founder at U Stadium. Nick, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, what's up, man? Always love joining the show, and I love how this has become kind of a every, I guess, two-week kind of thing. So happy to hop back on.
Let's start with the first item that you have, which is that you spoke to somebody that you know that is a source of yours who gave you some information about what the Jets may be looking to do first and foremost in free agency.
Yeah, so I reached back out, kind of haven't really been doing any detective work the past few weeks since it's been, you know, a little quiet, I guess since the beginning of the month with the Darnold news. So just kind of a general what's up, you know, in free agency kind of question, and didn't really expect to hear much back about it. But from what, you know, I did hear was that they expect to be active in the wide receiver and offensive line market. I mean, it shouldn't come as a shock, really. I mean, anybody who watches the Jets know, yeah, we have a ton of holes. They have a ton of holes, but receiver and offensive line is probably, if not one and two, then, you know, up there as a huge need for the Jets, and with a lot of cap room, you know, to play with, and the top of the offensive line and wide receiver market being pretty deep. And obviously Joe Douglas's affinity for Joe Thuney. I wouldn't be surprised to see them kind of do an all out push for him, you know, at the start of free agency and see, you know, really who on the wide receiver market kind of shakes free and hits the open market. You know, usually the big guys always find a way back, but, you know, with the Allen Robinson and, you know, Bears, I guess you can call it friction that they've had for the past few months. I don't think it'd be like a shocker if he does become a free agent, or I think it was an ESPN report that there could be a tag and trade situation, which actually could play into the Jets' favor, you know, if you get a guy, as long as Robinson is okay to sign a long-term deal, because, you know, let's face it, if Robinson hits the open market and the Jets are one of the teams going after him and they don't have a Deshaun Watson, and after the, you know, the circus of quarterbacks that Allen Robinson has played with, I don't think Robinson would be at the top of, I don't think the Jets would be at the top of Robinson's list. You know, he'll probably want to go somewhere with a already established quarterback, a team that's closer to winning. But if there is a tag and trade and the Jets can get ahead of some other teams and maybe offer a pick that, you know, would make sense for the Bears to do it and they can come to an agreement on a trade, maybe that does work out better for them. Same with the Kenny Golladay, who could be in the same situation. And I doubt Godwin ever becomes free, but it looks like there'll be heavy interest in the offensive line and receiver market.
You mentioned established quarterbacks being able to draw in wide receivers and offensive linemen in free agency, and that's obviously not a surprise either if you think about it, because especially with a guy like Allen Robinson, who went to play with Mitch Trubisky and before that was with Blake Bortles, you would think that having a quarterback who you know is really good is a huge draw to somebody like that in particular. A couple of names I wanted to throw at you that I thought were interesting, because we know that the Deshaun Watson situation is more or less at a standstill. John McClain appeared on that live stream with you and Frankie on U Stadium, and if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend checking it out and downloading the app. We played a little bit of the audio on the show last week, so there's nothing new going on there right now. But we're starting to hear some whispers about Ben Roethlisberger and Dak Prescott. Now, Ben Roethlisberger, I don't expect the Jets to be in the market for. He's almost 40 years old. He's probably only going to play for another year or two. But he could still affect the market for the Jets, because if he goes somewhere, that might influence what happens with Sam Darnold. Because just spitballing here, but let's say Ben Roethlisberger signed a 1 or 2 year deal with Indianapolis, that would potentially take them off the board for Darnold. And Dak Prescott is interesting for two reasons. Number one, same thing. If he gets traded somewhere, that means that that team would be off the board for Darnold. So if, say, Dak Prescott gets traded to the 49ers, now all of a sudden they wouldn't be interested in Darnold. But also, I wonder if the Jets themselves could be interested in Dak Prescott. Now, we know that he's looking for a big contract, but if the Jets are theoretically willing to pay big money for Deshaun Watson, Dak is probably going to get paid right around the same amount of money. Now, he's not as good, but still, top 10 quarterback, only 28 years old. The Jets would still have money and plenty of draft picks to build around him, even if they made some sort of trade that would require them to give up a first rounder or a pick swap or something along those lines. So I'm curious if perhaps the Cowboys start taking phone calls on Dak Prescott, and then from there, if one of those phone calls might be from Joe Douglas and the New York Jets. So what do you think, Nick? What's happening with these two quarterbacks, and how could this potentially affect the Jets, not just with the Sam Darnold trade market, but perhaps with Dak Prescott if he becomes available? Is he somebody that could be in play for gangrene?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an interesting thought, and I think, you know, Dak Prescott is a guy that is polarizing. Obviously, he's the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, but I don't think people give him enough credit for how good he actually is. And I'll take some of the fault of that too, because over the years, I would say, you know, I like Dak. I know he's got a lot of weapons in Dallas, great offensive line, et cetera. You know, it's always the age old discussion is Dak versus Wentz. And I always leaned Wentz, and I could totally admit that I was way off there. And I think, Dak is a guy, super talented, great leader. The city loves him. The team loves him. I still have a hard time seeing them actually moving on from him, especially without a clear upgrade, you know, because Jerry Jones is trying to win now. Obviously he is every year. He's not getting any younger. And to move on from Dak, they're going to, you know, especially for some of the quarterback kind of backups that they've dealt with over the past decade that we've seen, you know, with the Romo and now the Dak injuries. I don't think he's going to move on from a guy like Dak without having a clear upgrade, or at least somebody who can kind of, you know, be a wash. So I don't think there's been any real like Dak conversations of trades, but I mean, hey, it would make total sense for the Cowboys to call the Jets with that number two pick, you know, like you said, maybe a swap, and then the Jets add in another pick, you know, for Dak. So I think the Cowboys would probably call the Jets. I'm not sure the Jets would go down that road now, because he's going to get paid, which is fine, whatever. But he is coming off of an injury, and he isn't, you know, 24, 25 like Watson is. So I'm not sure. I haven't heard for sure that they're interested in Dak, because I don't think anybody really has. I'm sure it's going to go the failed contract talks for the next few weeks, and then I think the tag deadline is early March. They'll probably do that again and try and sign him to a deal. I always thought the Kirk Cousins route made sense for Dak, you know, get the guaranteed 3 years and then hit that market again and try and get that like that last 5 year deal for him. I think he's good enough to at least kind of bet on himself and come out, you know, looking good. Whereas Cousins maybe is the opposite, but hey, Cousins made $100 million out of it. So, you know, credit to him, but I don't see the Dak situation making sense, but the more you talk about it, how it would make sense for the Cowboys, they get the number two pick, especially if they really like Wilson or Fields and they can take their quarterback and the Jets have more of a solid veteran route. I just don't know if who does it make less sense for the Jets, who aren't exactly a win now team, to make that move and go get a guy like Dak, or the Cowboys who, you know, Jerry Jones wants to win every year, to give up a guy like Dak to take a rookie. So it doesn't make sense on the surface, but I mean, hey, if the Cowboys call and the deal makes sense, and let's say Sala really likes, or LaFleur really likes Dak's game, like Dak's great. I mean, it would be obviously a huge upgrade, and you know, maybe an Allen Robinson would come here, or, you know, one of the top receivers. And, you know, in terms of Ben, yeah, if this was 10 years ago, Woody Johnson would be, you know, driving the, you know, taking the private plane over to Pittsburgh and picking up Ben right now. I mean, he was obsessed. I think it was like 2008 or 9 when the first, it was pre-Sanchez. So it was probably like 2006, 2007 that time. Woody Johnson was completely obsessed with Ben Roethlisberger when there was a little bit of a Ben, you know, the first little scuffle between Ben and the Steelers, where there was rumors. I don't know if you remember that, Scott, like there was rumors of a breakup there. And Woody Johnson was basically pleading, you know, to Mike Tannenbaum and, you know, figure out a way to get him here. Like, no, you know, we'll give the next 3-4 first round pick, whatever it takes to get him. He was obsessed with getting Ben, and obviously nothing happened. At this point, I think we all know Ben Roethlisberger's done. I mean, he was putrid at the end of the year last year. But even the quotes from Kevin Colbert today was a bit of a surprise. I mean, you're talking about a two-time Super Bowl winner, Super Bowl MVP. You know, obviously the Steelers have a great historic franchise, and there's been plenty of great quarterbacks there. But a guy who's up there on the Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks for the Steelers, obviously, and to kind of just say, you know, as we sit here today, Ben is a member of the Steelers, like, that's a little harsh, man. It leads me to believe that there's some kind of, whether it's a contract scuffle or Ben did something to piss them off, because they did sit down and talk about like the future for Ben and, you know, where they're going. And obviously the Steelers are in a deep cap hole, and Ben is set to make $41 million. And I know the Steelers would like to get that into the 20s and without extending him any further. So basically they just said, take a pay cut, not any kind of like extension where it would be like, all right, let's stretch this $41 million out into 2 years. They wanted him just to take a straight up pay cut. And that quote on the surface at least makes me believe that conversation didn't go well. And I wouldn't be surprised if they straight up cut Ben soon, just to kind of move on. And if he wants to keep playing, let him try and find his situation. I don't know if the Colts want to go down that route again. You said the Colts, but and it makes sense, obviously, because of the Rivers experiment last year. I don't know if they want to keep going this like 1 year, will he retire kind of, you know, dating match that they've been doing. I think they want to get a guy. I think eventually they'll end up with Wentz, the Colts. Otherwise, Darnold makes sense. But I think they want a guy who at least they see high upside with, and, you know, they can say, all right, in 3-4 years, if all goes well and Frank Reich works with, you know, quarterback X, he's going to be the guy. We don't have to worry about the quarterback position. But I'm sure some team would take Ben. Maybe it'd be Belichick, or, you know, somebody who's, you know, looking for like that 1 or 2 years to make a run at it. Maybe like the Rams would have if they didn't land Stafford. But I'm sure somebody would call. But does Ben want to start over in a new city? I'm not sure it'll be. I'm not sure for him the grass will be greener anywhere. So two interesting names. I'm just not sure how or if any of them make sense for the Jets. Obviously not Ben at this point, but it could affect the Darnold market, or it could create a Darnold market. You know, it could create Pittsburgh, who a lot of people have kind of put you know, Sam Darnold and photoshopped into a Steeler uniform, and I know they're picking like 24th or something. And, you know, maybe they say, all right, we really like Darnold. He's affordable. We're in a little bit of cap trouble. There's two years anyway that they want to give Darnold a shot. Obviously pick up the fifth year option, let Tomlin, you know, get his hands on Darnold. Let's see what they can, you know, do with those young receivers there. Maybe they'll keep Juju too, who's a buddy of Darnold, and maybe they'll give up that late one. Maybe that was a team that Schefter was talking about, you know, a late one. I know Albert Breer mentioned the Steelers as a team, so maybe that's eventually where Darnold does end up.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hi, I'm your inner dream monologue. And you're fast asleep, so I'll be quick. Great job using the Colgate Optic White Overnight Teeth Whitening Pen before bed. When used as directed, it gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 7 days. So while I fly and talk to animals, you're removing teeth stains with ease. Sweet dreams. And when you wake up, keep on living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Going for your first ever run around the park. Literally running errands all over town. Running for the finish line and your personal best. If you run, you're a runner. Find the shoes and clothes to run your way at newbalance.com/running. New Balance. Run your way.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
We know that the Jets are going to be looking to upgrade on the offensive line. We know that they're going to be looking to upgrade at quarterback. We know that they're going to be looking to upgrade at wide receiver. We just talked about all of those positions, but one position that they're definitely going to be looking to upgrade, if not in free agency, then definitely in the draft, is cornerback. Mm-hmm. And you guys have intel at U Stadium about a particular cornerback who's set to hit the market, who is going to be very much in demand. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets get in on this.
Yeah, it was one of the player agent source that, you know, we work closely with. We've done a few events with some of his clients, and I asked him. I was like, "Who's a guy that you see, so basically surprising, you know, people with and kind of cashing in, almost like a James Bradbury last year." I know people saw him as a top of the market guy, but he went quickly and he got paid, and that corner was the Bengals' William Jackson. Who's apparently really well liked around the league by coaches and scouts. And he's a guy that, you know, the Bengals are notoriously cheap. I know they have a lot of cap room, I think upwards of $40 million that they can use that cornerback tag on or try and sign a long term. I don't think he has much interest in signing a long term deal in Cincinnati. You know, he probably wants to go somewhere with a little bit bigger of a market where they're playing meaningful games into, you know, December and January, obviously. And, they'll probably get outbid by a team with a lot of money who's, you know, trying to sign a corner. And this guy can play anywhere. He is one of the better lesser known, underrated corners in the game. And someone who's going to get paid, and probably one of those deals where you're like, where Schefter tweets it, like, on, if the new league year starts on March 17th, he'll tweet it on like March 11th. Like, oh, William Jackson intends to sign a huge 5-year, you know, blank contract with, you know, Team X, and you're like, wow, he was the first one off the board with a huge contract. So that's the one guy who, you know, we were told is going to have a really robust market and he's going to cash in. So wouldn't be surprised to see him as one of the top paid corners. Maybe he does eclipse the Bradbury contract of last year. And the corner from Byron Jones with the Dolphins.
He's not going to be the only one at cornerback that's available, though, Nick. You guys have an interesting chart that you put together based on teams that are over the salary cap or right at the salary cap, guys that could get cut, free agents that are most likely not going to return. And in fact, two of them, I can tell you for an almost fact, based on what general manager John Robinson of the Tennessee Titans said, is going to be Jonnu Smith and Corey Davis, the tight end and the wide receiver. He said that he expects those two to sign with other teams. So if he's expecting it, I'm pretty sure that that's more or less a signal that they're not planning to break out the money for those two guys. So they should be moving along. But plenty of other guys that are either free agents or are potentially about to become free agents. Von Miller being one of them. We know that J.J. Watt just recently was released. And there's going to be a lot more where that came from because of the cap going down. Tell me about what you put together at U Stadium and then go through some of the surprise players that you think could very well be available when free agency opens up March 17th.
Yeah, those are two guys that you mentioned with, from John Robinson said that he kind of in the same boat they were last year, the Titans with Jack Conklin, where they wanted him back and, you know, they might offer a maybe a little bit, hoping that they would take a little bit of a discount to return to Tennessee, but not expecting it to happen. With Jonnu and Corey Davis, who both should have a big market. And Jonnu is a guy, I like Davis a lot too, but Jonnu is a guy who's really interesting because, you know, they are a very run-heavy offense, obviously, as we know, with Derrick Henry over 2,000 yards. And, yeah, they like to throw it around a little bit with Tannehill. But you don't think of them as, like, an explosive pass offense that, you know, factors in the tight end. It's funny, like, kind of reminds me of, like, the Delanie Walker back in the day. I know he actually signed with the Titans and then became – you know, more of a threat pass, you know, in the passing game. But, you know, with the Niners, he was kind of secondary to when they had Vernon Davis. It was always Vernon Davis and Delanie Walker. And then Walker signs with the Titans and becomes, you know, this big pass-catching threat. And I could see that with Jonnu Smith for sure. Like, I think if he goes to an offense, and maybe the Jets will be interested to pair him up with Herndon, or if they decide, hey, this Herndon guy's not going to cut it, and they move on from him, like, maybe he is somebody who they can – hope kind of turns into a little bit of like a George Kittle in the LaFleur Shanahan offense. But I would be very interested in Jonnu Smith, and I think a lot of teams will be. I'm sure the Patriots, who love the tight end position, would make a call. Those two guys definitely will have big markets because, like I said earlier, the top of the wide receiver market will probably look a lot different after the franchise tag deadline. You know, you have Robinson, Galladay, and Godwin will probably get tagged, possibly trades in there. But regardless, you'll have Corey Davis, Curtis Samuel at the top of that list, and Davis will have a pretty solid market. I think he's shown the guy's a, maybe not a number one receiver, but a guy who could maybe get you 1,000 yards, you know, in a good offense. But those two guys will definitely have a good market too. But, yeah, we put up a basically potential cuts or – you know, I had a lot of people reading it, and they see Chandler Jones on there, and they're like, there's no way the Cardinals are going to trade Chandler or cut Chandler Jones. But, yeah, look into the fine print and also read that there is a lot of flexibility for a team like the Cardinals to move on from Chandler Jones, who's due. I believe it's like 20 or 21 million on the cap this year. If they cut him or move him, they'd only take a $5 million dead cap hit. So you can get out from under 20 million on your cap and only in for a $5 million on a dead cap. So, yeah, most likely he's not going to get cut, and they'll probably do some kind of restructure, and maybe that's the same with, like, a Von Miller. But you're, you know, and Tyler Lockett, I believe, was on there. It was an interesting one, too. But you will see a lot of guys on this list, especially with, you know, teams like the Saints, who are, I believe, like, $60 million or so over the cap, the Eagles, who are almost $40 million. The Rams, like 25, Falcons, like 20s, too. So I think the Packers are up to two. I think there was like 11 teams that were over the projected cap. And, yeah, look, the cap is, you know, you can fudge the cap a bit. Obviously, you can do some restructures and save a ton of money, you know, relatively quickly and cut some guys that are, you know, like the Jets with a Henry Anderson who would save like $9 million is an easy cut that'll happen, you know, soon, relatively soon, obviously. you know, so there's always wiggle room with the cap, you know, so it's not as, oh my God, the Rams are $25 million over, they're in trouble, they're not going to sign anybody. I mean, you already saw it with trading Goff for Stafford, and, you know, they're like, we'll deal with this later, you know, but let's just kind of do what we can do right now. But, you know, a team like the Saints, they're going to have to move on from a Saquon Alexander, a Jared Cook, possibly Emmanuel Sanders. The Eagles, too, they'll look to move like Zach Ertz, Derek Barnett, who could be potentially interesting for the Jets. I know the Falcons have a few, like a defensive, I think Ricardo Allen, the safety, they'll probably move on from. And then the Packers have the Smith brothers. You know, maybe one of them they extend and the other they let go. So, yeah, I mean, there's some potential names on that list that you can kind of go through on the app. It's, you'll see in the breaking news ticker, you'll see on top is each team's potential cuts. Just click into that, and we did a breakdown of each team basically in order of their cap space and who are some guys. I mean, obviously, we're all Jet fans here talking. I mean, Jamison Crowder is one, which, you know, I know we both talked about, Scott. And look, I don't think anybody wants to go outright and cut Jamison Crowder. And, yeah, I don't think we're in the position to get rid of talent, especially probably our best offensive weapon. But if, if Mike LaFleur and the offensive staff says, hey, $11 million for – a slot guy who really doesn't do much, who has a look outside, who has an injury history, and, you know, we don't really factor in the slot as much as obviously an Adam Gase does. We think we can get that production from somebody for half of that, and we want to use that money for not only Joe Tooney, but maybe we do want to get a Curtis Samuel. Maybe there's a little bit of wiggle room. And then you have guys like Henry Anderson, like I mentioned, $9.5 million cap at only 1.3 dead. George Fant is another interesting one. Maybe they do upgrade with, you know, a tackle in free agency or in the draft where you can move on from him and, you know, save about, I believe, like $9 million on the cap. And then obviously the terrible interior guard tandem of Alex Lewis and Greg Van Roten are guys that they'll move on from and look to upgrade. And so, I mean, they're already, I believe, $75 million under, and they can easily make another 10 to 20 if they do move on from Crowder and obviously the Anderson, Lewis, and Roten cut. So go on there and check it out. It's cool. It's interesting. You can see some of the guys on there. Like, wow, this guy's making that much money. This guy's like Casey Hayward from the Chargers could shake free, who could be interesting for the Jets. You know, obviously they're going to look for guys who aren't 31 and, you know, trying to, you know, ring chase at this point. Although bringing in a guy, maybe one or two guys like that, for a young locker room and a, you know, a team that you want to bring some winning mentality in, won't be the worst thing. I know a lot of people look like J.J. Watt and Von Miller, and they're like, well, the Jets really aren't in the situation to sign those guys. Those guys want to win. Yeah, they probably would prefer to go somewhere to win, but bringing in a guy with winning experience with an attitude like that kind of changed, you know, the dreaded culture word, obviously everybody hates to hear, but there is some legitimacy to that. Like, the Jets are a very inexperienced team and they're going to be young and probably even younger again. Bringing in a guy, let's say even like, I don't know, Weston Richburg, a guy who could get cut, maybe the Jets want to move him inside, or not, you know, not him, maybe not him exactly, but a guy even like a Kevin Zeitler, if he gets cut from the Giants, you know, veteran guys who are good locker room guys who have experience in the league, you know, it's not the worst thing to bring in some veterans there and kind of coach up some of these young guys.
Nick, last order of business. We're starting to hear a lot of whispers about teams having Zach Wilson as QB1 over Trevor Lawrence. Now, I still expect Trevor Lawrence to go number one because I don't think one of those teams would be the Jacksonville Jaguars. They've been tanking for him forever. Urban Meyer loves him, and they clearly see him as not just a football player but a marketing opportunity, which makes a lot of sense, especially since we're talking about the Jaguars, and they desperately need a star to center that franchise around, particularly if they end up moving to London. But you start to hear more and more people coming out. Mark Schlereth said he thinks he would probably take Zach Wilson over Trevor Lawrence. Joe Theismann came out and said that. Eric Galco from Optimum Scouting says that he's heard that there's more than one team that believes that Zach Wilson is the best quarterback in this draft. A, is this just smoke or is this serious from what you've heard? And B, explain the motivation of some of these leaks. Is there something nefarious here? Are teams or guys that are representing certain teams or agents leaking this stuff about teams potentially liking Zach Wilson better than Trevor Lawrence to try and influence that top part of the draft in some sort of way, because you operate in this world, so you know what a lot of these guys are motivated by. Talk to me about what's going on with this.
Yeah, I mean, it could be both. I mean, we are, you know, what, 70, I don't know how many days are we from the draft, but, you know, this is when things start to really heat up, and obviously we'd be getting ready for the combine in about a week, and that's where a lot of this stuff starts, and, you know, the agent world, it definitely happens in, you know, like even the character assassination of Zach Wilson earlier in the week from our friend Rich Cimini and Todd McShay, and then you had other people coming out, and then you had people denying it. Like, that can always be leaked by, let's say, and I don't want to falsely claim that he did it, but maybe a Justin Fields' agent or a Trey Lance's agent will leak a little bit of bad, you know, pub out to get people to second guess Zach Wilson. Well, this may be the opposite. You know, this may be a team who, maybe it is the Jets or maybe it is the Dolphins or a team picking there to leak this like super interest in Zach Wilson to really make that pick even more valuable. I doubt it'll be the Jaguars. I think the Browns agent, the Browns owner out, you know, live at the Darnold, pro day when he was thrown in the rain and the cameras were all on him, but you had, Urban Meyer there on the field with Dabo, and, you know, the cameras were locked on him, and it looked like he was basically running the drills. But unless super conspiracy in me that Lawrence has heard all this bad press about the Jaguars, and he is pulling a Eli and say, hey, I'm not going here, so you better leak this, you know, and then the Jaguars say, well, all right, let's leak this interest in Zach Wilson so that we save face PR-wise, and we can claim that we always had Zach Wilson as our QB1, and then, you know, and then they don't take Lawrence, and they're like, hey, look around the league. There's 10 teams that have Zach Wilson one, like you guys are missing out. Or it could be as simple as like Mark Schlereth and Joe Theismann and guys like that just haven't watched any BYU games. And now that the season is over, they get a chance to kind of study these guys, and they're like, holy shit, this kid can play. So yeah, I think not to cop out and like sound like, you know, like say, oh yeah, it could be all of these things, but it could just be as simple as like, you know, a team who really wants to trade out of the pick, or a team like the Jets who really want Zach Wilson, and they just want to sell it to their franchise or sell it to their fan base to say, hey, this kid is in the conversation with Lawrence. Maybe this once in a generation can't miss number one guy like Lawrence. Maybe you guys were wrong. You know, maybe this is the guy, like Zach Wilson is the guy, like the consolation prize isn't really that bad of a, you know, cause obviously Jet fans were pissed, man. And we talked about it for 2 months during the season, like once the Jets beat the, you know, the Rams, like it was like a morgue around here. Like we were all just very pissed and upset that we went through that miserable season and didn't even get the pot of gold right at the end of the, the rainbow. And, we were down for a while, but, you know, then you insert the Watson rumors and the Zach Wilson rising, and then we talked ourselves into Justin Fields. I mean, we'll talk ourselves into whoever they end up with, not just the Jet fans, but that's what fans do, right? Is like, mm-hmm. you know, whoever they get is the guy. You could be pissed about it, but you'll support him, and then until he, if he fails, which hopefully, obviously, he doesn't, then we'll always say, yeah, we always kind of thought he was going to suck, but it could just be like, you know, agents getting involved too. And I'm not sure who Zach go with, I don't know what agency he went with, but yeah, man, these guys definitely play that game. And Galco's great though, I will say, like he's very plugged in the scouting world, and, you know, not to say that he's right, you know, that Zach Wilson's quarterback one. I personally don't think that. I think he is quarterback two. He's been quarterback two for me for a while. But hey, it isn't a bad consolation prize. And when you do watch, obviously there's the Mahomes off schedule throws and the movement. He kind of moves like Mahomes does too, in and out of the pocket. And the Kyler Murray conversation, I don't really see that as much. You know, I think when you look at Zach Wilson, you see his face and like, he looks like a kid, like he's little, but he's actually like six. He'll probably be 6'2" and change at the, well, there's no comma, at the pro day. He's not like Kyler small, even though he kind of like looks like he is. He just got that like really young face and he kind of like acts and looks young. But like, I don't see the Kyler comparisons. I can see the Mahomes. I can even see the Aaron Rodgers, the kind of effortless throws and the attitude that he has, like that kind of laid back, kind of cocky attitude he has a little bit. And I can see some of the throws that he makes in and out of the pocket, a little kind of flick that he has. Like I could see where you see it, some Rodgers comparisons, but yeah, he's interesting. And I think you will get a team who probably will be end up being the Jets where they're like, hey, this guy's got that like mega star potential and we don't want to be the ones to pass up on that. I think he's like different from a Darnold breed. You know, Darnold was a little bit more like raw, like tough, gritty kind of guy. I don't think Zach Wilson's like a gritty player. I think he's more polished and obviously a lot less turnovers in college where he's a lot more accurate. But it's going to be a fun 70 plus days, whatever, until the draft where we kind of debate it. And I think the consensus is he is the quarterback too right now. I don't think the consensus among most people, I mean, I'm sure there's one or two guys who are like, yeah, dude, he's Mahomes. Like, forget about this Lawrence guy. He's got this great team around him, blah, blah, blah. Dabo Sweeney, like the Zach Wilson guy is like Mahomes. He's going to come in and like change your franchise. I'm sure there's a team out there who thinks that, but I don't think it's something where multiple teams are saying that. I think everybody believes that Lawrence is definitely quarterback one and probably by a solid amount too.
I think there's a possibility that there are a couple of teams that would have Wilson rated above Lawrence. I just don't think one of those teams is the Jacksonville Jaguars. And really, that's the only thing that matters at this point, right? Exactly. So that's really what it comes down to. But if you think about it, there have been crazy things that have happened in the history of the NFL draft. I'll never forget the shock when the Houston Texans took Mario Williams over Reggie Bush, who many people thought was a generational talent. So anything's possible. But if I were a betting man, I would say that while there could be some teams that think Zach Wilson is QB1, the Jaguars are still going to go with Trevor Lawrence at number one. So if you're a Jets fan, the one thing that you do like is that so many people do seem to be very high on Zach Wilson, and there very well could be people who have really strong reputations around the league that believe that he's better than Trevor Lawrence. So with that being the case, as you said, Nick, that means that the Jets, even if they're getting a consolation prize, it's a pretty damn good consolation prize. So that's something you should take solace in if Wilson is the pick. But as you said, Nick, we got about 70 days to go. So many things can change. Who knows what this is going to look like when we get to a few weeks before the draft, the week of the draft, and even the day before the draft, because look at what happened with Baker Mayfield. Up until a day or two before the draft, everybody thought Darnold was going number one. So this is going to be a wild ride, and especially with the strange circumstances of nothing being in person, because remember, last year, a lot of this stuff got done before the coronavirus hit, and you weren't able to do a lot of in-person things after that. But before that, you still were able to have the Senior Bowl and the Combine and all of that. So this year, very different. A lot of screwy things can happen. So it's an interesting situation to monitor. Nick Spano, co-founder over at U Stadium, thanks so much for coming on, as always. Really appreciate it. A lot of great stuff up all the time. But if you want access to it over at U Stadium, you got to do one thing. Download that app.
That's right, man. Yeah, I mean, and hopefully next time when we talk, there'll be more concrete news and not, you know, rumors to you know, guess about. So hopefully we still waiting on that Wentz trade, and hopefully the Darnold one is soon to follow. But yeah, man, appreciate it. Always love talking, and definitely download the app, subscribe, and turn on those notifications, and you'll get all of that stuff right, you know, right to your phone. So appreciate it, Scott, and we'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Always look forward to talking to you, Nick, both on and off the air. Make sure that you follow U Stadium on Twitter, at U Stadium, and download the app. If you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet, if you could go ahead and do that for us, really appreciate it. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts, you know where to go. That's Turn on the Jets Digital and turnonthejets.com.